First, the last in a series of federal moratoriums on evictions expired at the end of July this year, raising concerns about a possible wave of evictions. We're a few months out from that now. Numbers did not go up dramatically compared to pre-pandemic numbers, but there are still concerns for renters here in the state. We wanted to check back in on the situation going into winter, especially some of the legal aspects of eviction and other situations that could still lead to someone becoming homeless. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you someone who's been affected by this story? Did you benefit from an eviction moratorium or from renters' assistance along the way? Were you able to stay in your home? Ultimately, if you're a property owner, someone who leases apartments or homes, what has this all looked like from your perspective? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kristen Slonsky is an attorney and advocacy and legal services director for the Wausau-based Wisconsin Judicare. Kristen, welcome back to Central Time. Make sure we have her. Mitch is an attorney and clinical professor and director of the Economic Justice Institute and Neighborhood Law Clinic at the UW Law School. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Mitch, let's start with you. I understand a new eviction defense clinic just opened up at UW. Is that timing related in part to the end of these moratoriums?
You know, the new eviction defense clinic that the University of Wisconsin Law School was able to open up is actually, it's related to the pandemic relief that was ordered last year at the end of 2020. So as part of the CARES Act way back, it allotted a lot of money to the various different states, and it finally worked its way down to the city of Madison, which allocated money out to a number of legal services organizations, and the university was one of them. So it's an example of how it takes a long time for the stuff that you hear at the top of the hour in the news stories about the federal government allocating money, it takes a while for it to get down to the local level.
And I think we have Kristen. Kristen, I mentioned a wave of evictions, a feared wave of evictions. What have we seen now since the last moratorium expired?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me. So we at Wisconsin Judicare, we deal with the counties in the northern half of the state, the northern 33 counties. And at least from what we've seen coming into our offices, we have not seen the wave of evictions based on failure to pay rent that we were concerned about. But we are still getting calls from people who are facing homelessness for other reasons unrelated to non-payment of rent.
What kind of reasons are driving that? I know we've got higher housing costs in Wisconsin, for one thing. What are some of the reasons leading to homelessness among the people who are calling your office?
Well, with the caveat that this is all anecdotal evidence, we only hear from the people who call us. We are seeing more people who are coming to us, and they're just simply having their tenancies not renewed. So if you're a month-to-month tenant in general, you can be non-renewed on 28 days notice or one full rental period from your landlord. And if you're an annual tenant on a written lease, usually a one-year written lease, then at the expiration of that one-year period, you can be non-renewed. And the landlord doesn't generally have to give any reason at all for that. And we're seeing a lot more people than we used to see who are coming to us not knowing why they were non-renewed, or suspecting that they were non-renewed because their relationship with their landlord soured over the course of the moratorium, maybe when they weren't paying rent but couldn't be evicted for it.
And Mitch, what are you hearing in the Madison area and statewide when it comes to kind of what happened after the eviction moratorium came to an end?
Well, we have seen and we have heard of people filing evictions right away. And, as soon as the moratorium ended, people were interested in filing evictions, even though there was and still is money available to pay for folks who have not been able to pay rent. Evictions have still been filed. So that's kind of a tragedy unto itself, that people are getting evictions filed against them, even though there's money available to cover for what they weren't able to pay.
Kristen, what have you seen when it comes to the role of that rental relief funding that Mitch was talking about, which we've heard in different parts of the state is out there but can be slow to arrive?
Right. So there's a few problems with the Wisconsin Emergency Rental Assistance funds getting out the door. One is that the tenant has to do their part, and that requires some paperwork. And there are some low-income tenants for whom that's a real barrier. The other is that they do have to have the landlord has to work with them. They have to give some information to the agency, usually the CAP agencies that are giving out the funds. So if either of those two things fall through, then the application is incomplete and the funds don't flow. The other is that the landlord has to accept those funds. And usually that comes with an agreement that they won't bring an eviction action for failure to pay rent for those months that they're getting paid for. But then we get back to this whole idea of, like, once those months are paid, you can't be evicted for non-payment of those months of rent arrears. But if you fall behind again, or if your landlord just has decided they're done with you and they don't want to renew your tenancy, they can give you a 28-day notice if you're a month-to-month tenant, and you really have no recourse. Your rent arrears has been paid, but you can still be non-renewed and evicted if you stay beyond the time of the tenancy terminating.
We're looking at evictions and the risk of homelessness facing renters in Wisconsin after federal eviction moratoriums came to an end. We have Kristen Slonsky with us with the Wausau-based Wisconsin Judicare, and Mitch with us from the UW Law School, director of the Economic Justice Institute and Neighborhood Law Clinic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have experience with this from any part of the story, if you've faced eviction, if you had trouble paying your rent during the pandemic, receive this emergency relief. If you rent to people, what kind of things are you seeing? What kind of challenges did you face? Call in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Bill is with us in Madison. Bill, hello. Bill, are you there?
Yes.
There you are. Hi. What did you want to tell us about, Bill?
Well, I'm a small property owner. I have an 8-unit and some duplexes, and I use a property management service. And we have tried to work with people that fell behind. And we filled out everything properly, went through all the hoops, which they make you jump through a lot of hoops, and then they switch it out on you. And the money just wouldn't come. And even though the money is there, they don't have the people, the government, it doesn't have the people that really are working hard enough to get the money to these people to make it happen. The system's broken. And even though money's available, there are so many people that are getting evicted because the system's failing them. And I'm one of them. I've seen it happen. I mean, I got somebody behind over $4,000-some, and we've been trying to get the money. And pretty soon, he's going to have to go. You know, and everything's been filled out properly. Everything. It's just, it's a very poor execution. So, and I just wanted to make that point.
Bill, thanks a lot for sharing that story. Mitch, you were saying the money is slow to come. Bill says it's really slow to come. He's trying to help work with his his renters, and they're just not seeing it happen.
Yeah, you know what this raises is the really important question of what can we learn? What can we learn from the federal government allocating billions of dollars and the state chipping in millions more, and the process taking a long time? It isn't simply, well, government, and let's throw up our hands and be, you know, upset about it. People like Bill don't want to evict people. People obviously don't want to be evicted. The people who are trying to get the aid into people's hands want to do that. But the process is so slow that Bill just called it broken. So how do we make a more robust system that's able to spring up the next time that we have a health crisis like this?
Kristen, what kind of advice would you have for someone in our caller's position and that renter he mentioned falling behind on bills as they wait for this rental relief? Is there any kind of recourse out there for them?
Well, It depends. If what you're talking about is legal recourse, unfortunately, no, I can't think of any. You have to go through the agency that's distributing the WERA funds. And here in Wisconsin, there's more than 15 of those agencies. So the first thing that I would advise someone to do is check and make sure that they're applying with the correct agency for their area. And you can find information for that at wiscap.org or Wisconsin Energy Assistance is also helping people process their applications. And they'll take the application over the phone. We send a lot of our clients there, especially our clients who have some literacy barriers or maybe language barriers. That can be helpful to have someone walk you through it over the phone rather than try to figure it out for your own online. But, you know, like I said before, there are some, it's paperwork, and for a lot of low-income tenants, paperwork can really present a barrier, whether it's because English isn't their first language, or they have some literacy problems, or maybe, you know, they're, it's just difficult for them to process the written word. These are real problems, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of solutions that are being offered, even from the people who are trying to help.
We're talking to attorneys Kristen Slonsky from Wisconsin Judicare and Mitch, a clinical professor of law at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We're looking at evictions after a federal moratorium ended earlier this year and the challenges facing renters and those who rent to them. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you rent your housing. What have the last few months looked like for you? How's your relationship with the person you rent from? Have you been at risk of eviction in the last year and a half or so? If you rent to people, are you seeing these problems as our first caller did? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about evictions with Kristen Slonsky, Advocacy and Legal Services Director for Wisconsin Judicare, and Mitch, Clinical Professor and Director of the Economic Justice Institute and Neighborhood Law Clinic at the UW Law School. You can join in with your questions, your own experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Michael joins us next in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I guess kind of what I wanted to share, I've been renting in one form or another for the better part of 13 years or so. And at different times, I've managed to be pretty secure in housing during the pandemic, sort of counterintuitively. But anyway, all that is to say there have been times where I've been less than secure in my ability to pay rent, have had or other bills like electricity have had to use various forms of assistance. But really, my point is that both with the current eviction protections, with existing rental assistance programs and ones that are a direct response to COVID, what gets me is they address a symptom of the problem, but they're not really addressing the root cause. So, I mean, landlords can choose not to renew and jack up the rent on a unit by $300-$500 because housing prices have gone up in an area, stuff like that, not having enough affordable housing for people and people being forced to rent month to month to month for years and years and years, and buying, you know, multiple homes for their landlords while they're not approved for a house loan.
Michael, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Kristen, Michael's saying a fundamental problem, not enough housing that people can afford, and that's ultimately driving up the cost of housing, rental and otherwise.
Yeah, Rob, I think Michael's exactly right. You know, this is just a broken market where there's far more demand than there is supply for low-income housing. And, you know, some of the supply that is out there is being taken off of the market. We had a pretty hot housing market this last summer, and we saw a number of mom and pop landlords get out of the business, sell, both because they had now gone a year or more without rent because of the moratorium, or just because the deals were too good to pass up. So it's unfortunately, yeah, I think that Michael is right that we're in the middle of a broken market, and that's underlying a lot of the problems that we're seeing.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Jean in Rock County. Jean, hi.
Hi. I am a 62-year-old woman. My daughter passed away, and I'm raising her two children. I've lived in my same apartment complex for 5 years and have now been given a non-renewal, a 30-day notice, with two kids at Christmas. I've applied for 7 different apartments. By the time you get through all the crazy paperwork, and I mean crazy paperwork, the apartment's already been rented with 18 to 20 people looking at every apartment. So I don't know what the answer is other than being homeless at Christmas with two kids through no fault of my own.
Jean, I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope things work out for you and that they do that soon. I want to throw that, first of all, to Kristen. Kristen, you mentioned that not eviction, but non-renewal. In this case, Jean says with 30 days notice. Is there any legal recourse to challenge that the way one might challenge an eviction? I'm guessing maybe not.
Well, you know that I'm an attorney, so the answer is always it depends.
Sure.
But in general, if we're talking about someone who's either at the end of a term tenancy or on a month-to-month, which a lot of folks in our service area are on month-to-month for years at a time, then in general, the landlord does not have to give any reason for their decision to non-renew. They just have to deliver it properly, and they have to deliver it in a timely manner. So it has to be given at least 28 days before the end of the rental period. It has to be one full rental period. For example, I couldn't give a 28-day notice and try to terminate someone's tenancy in the middle of January. It would have to go through the end of January. But if they comply with those two things, then they've usually complied with the law. There's very few legal defenses to a simple non-renewal, unless it's done in retaliation for the tenant having taken some action that they're protected to take under law, like calling a housing inspector to come out and inspect the home or something like that.
So, Kristen, when somebody in Jean's situation calls your organization, do you have any advice for them on if they can't challenge their non-renewal, finding a new place?
Well, of course, first we look and make sure that they don't have any legal defenses. But if, as is often the case, they don't have a legal defense, then we switch to negotiation. We call the landlord and just simply ask if they would be willing to extend the tenancy for a number, whatever amount of time we can get. Because, you know, as our last two callers have pointed out, it's really difficult to find substitute housing. And if you don't find it, then, you know, as our last caller said, what do? You're homeless at Christmas with two kids? Most landlords are willing to work with us, at least to give a little extra time, as long as they know that the tenant is working in good faith to find alternative housing.
Thanks again for sharing your story, Jean, and best to you. Mitch, how about the situation where somebody is being evicted? What kind of legal alternatives do they have in that case?
Well, you know, with respect to this type of a non-renewal situation, as Kristen mentioned, a reason doesn't need to be given. And I want to stop right there and say that is one of the problems. That is something that the legislature could easily fix. They could pass a law that says if you're going to non-renew somebody, effectively ending their housing, the place that they've called home, they're going to have to leave. You should tell them why. You should at least give them the dignity and say, hey, maybe it's because of a behavior issue that you can correct or improve upon. Maybe it's because the owner wants to do remodeling or needs to do repairs. Maybe it's purely profit taking and they're going to raise the rent a whole lot. But whatever it is, that information is key to a free market is a rental property owner, you want a bigger market, right? You actually do want more and more renters to be available. And if people are being non-renewed and they come apply, they're one of these 18 to 20 people applying, and I see, oh, they were just non-renewed, the assumption is that there was something negative that they did. And that's an unfair assumption. So on both sides, the renter is disadvantaged, other owners are disadvantaged. That's a, as Kristen said, a broken system, because a market system is based upon a full information. So because we don't require that information to be given, people make really sort of mistaken and misplaced assumptions, and no one can make corrections. So that's an area that I think we could focus on. We could fix that with a pretty simple requirement that people tell people why they're being non-renewed. Then we figure out what those problems are, we can address those problems.
That's all the time we have. Mitch, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Kristen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Kristen Slonsky is an advocacy and legal services director with the Wausau-based Wisconsin Judicare. Mitch is an attorney, clinical professor, and director of the Economic Justice Institute and Neighborhood Law Clinic at the UW Law School. They joined us today for a look at evictions in Wisconsin and non-renewals of leases after the moratorium on evictions ended over the summer. Still time for you to share your story, your thoughts as a renter or a property owner who rents residential apartments. Let us know what you've seen out there. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org.